parents are simply jealous. Yeah, I had 2 years in Italy, two best years of my life. And how many days were you in that Naples jail?
3 years.
3 years in Naples jail. I thought I'd pick three different points. First is to form aid, then to question of terror protection, and finally to the present monetary crisis. With respect to foreign aid, it seems to me that the last 6 or 7 years has shown a major defect in the use of cash to serve the interests of the United States. It seems to me that our foreign policy should be the handsome of our national security, and that foreign aid is a perfectly sensible method of bribing people to do things that you want. Given our interdependence in the international political system, we do have, on occasion, have to bribe people to do things that we want.
Are you bribing us?
It does seem to me that there are many cases when we want to bribe a foreign government to do things that...
Louder, please.
Louder.
This is not working?
No,
no,
I'm working.
I said the wrong angle.
Right,
you're quiet.
No, it's working.
I'm turning on. Shall I sit down?
I don't have any idea how to turn this thing on.
No.
All right, that's not good. Still doesn't work.
No.
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 Yes.
What do you think I've been doing? A corollary of this point that you can find occasion when you want to bribe a country into doing something that is in your interest is, first of all, that clearly we made a serious mistake over the last 8 years in that we have been investing funds in projects where the return is far distant in the future. For instance, Nigeria, we have invested a considerable sum of money in the Kanji Dam. Several millions. The Russians have just made a major coup in Nigeria because of the ineptness of American foreign policy in that part of the world. And the benefits of that dam, which we have constructed or helped construct, obviously now accrue to the Nigerians and the Soviet Union. Had we taken a much shorter run view of our commitment to Nigeria, we would have subsidized certain ministers, certain cabinet ministers, try to help them maintain a little peace and order in that country, and probably would have been far better off. See, when the rate of return on investment in the United States is 15 or 20%, it simply doesn't pay the United States government to invest in any project where the yield is received, say, 15 or 20 years from now. And it's essentially what we've been doing by focusing on economic development as a foreign aid objective rather than bribery and successfully buying countries and cabinet ministers and individuals to do what we want. Now, it seems to me that we can probably run a far smaller aid program with, if we use our cash much more carefully in terms of laying in particular individuals. The second point I would make is that we have actually created an agency which is, in the technical sense of the word, constipated. That is the Agency for International Development, because it cannot make a decision any longer, having been wrapped up in a set of rules about how to spend money, which are designed either to please the Congress, the taxpayer, or to assure the efficient use of funds. Now, it seems clearly wrong that we have our requirement, for instance, that the aid monies be spent in the United States. It leads to inefficiency, it leads to very high-cost operations for the less developed countries, and it means that our freedom of action is very much reduced. If we simply give the cash straight to the minister, I think he can probably make very effective use of it, and you'll probably be better off. So my second point is straight cash payments. First point is no development projects. You lay it on individuals in governments, and you give them cash. You don't give them things like dams and roads and highways. Now, of course, if people want to buy World Bank bonds, and Mr. McNamara wants to invest the money in Nigeria, he thinks that's a good risk, and I see no objection whatsoever to Americans individually buying World Bank bonds, and then the World Bank going out and supporting the economic development of Nigeria. The point, however, is that the guy who buys the bonds is doing it voluntarily. He's looking to an interest rate of return. Now, in the foreign aid game, it seems to me, we shouldn't even be thinking about economic development per se, because the political benefits from development are so far in the future. We should think about immediate political benefits, not long-term economic benefits. And therefore, I'm disposed to comment critically on the proposal which seems to be coming out of the local capitalists in the United States, namely that there be some device by which the federal government subsidize private foreign investment in less developed countries. This subsidy, of course, will stimulate the private foreign investment, and of course, in turn, will stimulate the economic development of the countries receiving the private foreign investment. There's no question that the development of the private sector is a good thing. But I don't see that it really has much bearing on U.S. foreign policy within the next 3 to 5 years, whether we have X or X plus $2 million invested in a particular less developed country. So much for foreign aid. Now, in terms of protection, it's perfectly clear, it seems to me, that liberty is best served by having individual freedom of choice with respect to buying abroad or buying at home, with respect to investing abroad or investing at home. Both of those freedoms are clearly, very clearly challenged in the last year or two, and President-elect Nixon will have a very serious problem with protectionism, requests for support for tariff protection quotas. He will be undoubtedly pressed for that grand euphemism of all time, the voluntary quota, under which foreign cartels agreed to restrict their exports to the United States. He will undoubtedly get extremely high pressure from the steel industry and the textile industry, and this is not consistent with what I believe this group is in favor of. However, there is one point that should be set, and that is that the demand for protection in the United States from import competition is rather closely related to the current balance of payments situation and the current monetary crisis. We have gone through what I would consider a very interesting week in terms of a structural change in the way in which the world is getting along in its international financial affairs. Specifically, for the first time, at least in my lifetime, an event has taken place in which the balance of power between the ministers of finance has shifted. Mind you, Franz Josef Strauss, Minister of Finance of the Federal Republic of Germany, announced the devaluation of the French franc. If you think about that, you think about it very hard, you can see that the balance of power in international financial relations has shifted. That when one minister of finance, by announcing a certain effect, can cause it to come to be, we now have got a new type of international cooperation. Now, it seems to me that we want a structural change in the international monetary system that's extremely important for President-elect Nixon to consider. I think it means that the era of good feeling, of what I call CBS, central bank solidarity, has come to an end, and that ministers of finance will be telling each other off in terms of international financial affairs. I think it's remarkable that what's happened this week. Not only did Franz Josef Strauss announce the devaluation of the franc, but Big Bertha came out for freely fluctuating exchange rates. You don't know who Big Bertha is. That's the New York Times. Now, when the New York Times is moved to believe in the price mechanism, we have really accomplished something. Now, of course, it took a $3 million crisis to move the New York Times. That's understandable. What we've got then is a situation which is absolutely ripe for major reforms of the international monetary system. We've got ministers of finance who refuse to cooperate with one another, to pat each other on the back and maintain their solidarity. Secondly, we've got a real first-class crisis that obviously is the first of a series. I say obviously, we're on a six-month schedule now, with September last fall, March this spring. Now, here we are in November, so I would say roughly March or April again. What probably it will be the next one is the pound, and after the pound, then of course the immediate question comes up of what about the dollar? In these circumstances, I think President-elect Nixon has got to make a Wilsonian decision. By that I mean, Prime Minister Wilson came into office in 1964 and decided to temporize with his balance of payments problem. And the result was that several years later, after many efforts to retard economic growth in the UK, increase the rate of unemployment, and slow down inflation, all conservative kinds of policies, he had to devalue the pound anyway. Now, if President-elect Nixon thinks about it, I think he will see that early in his administration, he better do some of the surgery that has been left to him by the inane monetary policies of the Democrats, Democratic Federal Reserve Board, and simply blame it all on the Democrats. If that is the policy he pursues, and if he takes Big Bertha's advice to go to freely fluctuating exchange rates, liberty will be considerably enhanced. Thank you.